Okay. I must, well, I'm not going to apologize because this is what the Lord wants taught today. How people are healed. And I'm going to show you, too, how to grow out arms and legs and stuff like that. I guess you guys have been slacking off. I know we have taught this before. But, how, you know, are you using it? Okay, it's my turn to talk, guys. Hey, guys, excuse me. My turn. God bless you. How people were healed in the Bible, okay? Holy Spirit, you are the true teacher here. Please give us revelation and understanding in your word, Lord, and minister on to each one of us how we are the hands of Christ. We are the ones that are to pray for the sick so that Jesus can heal them because he's still in the healing business today. Thank you, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit. You know, if you're serious about getting healed from the Lord, you really need to do something about it actively, okay? Do something about it. One way, of course, is by examining the Word of God and looking how did Jesus heal these people? How did these people receive it, you know? How? Often, I don't know, it kind of starts with hope. And the hoping that God, Jesus, would heal you, you know, it begins to grow faith within you. And then you put action to that faith. And then what happens? You get healed, you know. And it's so amazing. It's so amazing. There seems to be a point of contact. I know you think, oh, yeah, well, they got healed at Benny Hinn Crusade. I've been to them. I've seen people get, I've even been healed at one. But most of them that are there looking for healing are not healed. The ones healed are the ones that have been seeking God for healing. And, you know, and often they'll be on the TV screen and they'll say, I knew if I came to this meeting that Jesus would heal me. That was their point of contact, getting to the meeting. Jesus would heal them. Had nothing to do with Benny Hinn. You know, I mean, really, I'm not knocking him. He's got tremendous anointing. But it was their point of contact. They knew if they could get to the meeting, Jesus would heal them. He'd meet them there. So watch it. We're going to run through these scriptures fairly quickly, I'm hoping. Watch how they were healed. And if you need healing, begin to seek God in one of these ways. You know, meditate your healing scriptures. Grab a couple of healing scriptures and read them out loud. I mean, it's not difficult to meditate. All you do is read it out loud. If you're a very lazy person. But anyway, you could put it on a CD in your voice would be great. And then just play that in the background. You do not have to be paying attention to it for you to pick up the Word of God in your heart. You know, I'm getting off topic. So, praise God. And, you know, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that counts for today, right? All right, Mark 5. Now, this is the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus, a leader of the synagogue. And, you know, this guy, his daughter had been dead for at least an hour or so before he came. So watch the scriptures here. Watch the scriptures. We'll start at verse 22. And she had a point of contact, okay? So watch for it. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, when he saw Jesus, he fell at Jesus' feet. Well, what did he do? He worshiped Jesus. That word worship in Scripture only means to bow down to do obeisance, okay? And he bowed down to Jesus. This is a leader in the synagogue, you know? And there could be some religious Jews a little ticked about this, but verse 23, and he begged Jesus earnestly. You know, we read in James 5, it's the fervent prayer of a righteous person that gets much accomplished. The fervent prayer. You need to put your emotions into it. And beg Jesus earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. In the meanwhile, he knows she's already dead. But I guess you could say the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, Jesus, that she may be healed. And she will live. If you come and lay your hands on her, she's going to be healed. And she will live. So Jesus went with Jairus, and a great multitude followed Jesus and thronged Jesus. So can you see this? There's a crowd. You ever been in a crushing crowd? I don't like them because I'm not that large a person, you know. But anyway, I'm not talking about width. I'm talking height, right? Anyway, okay, now we get to the chick, right? Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. I can't even begin to imagine that, bleeding that long. She must have been the most tired person in all of Israel, you know, like, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and no, it was no better, and rather grew worse. She got worse. When she heard about Jesus, this lady had obviously heard about Jesus before, okay? But she hears, hey, Jesus is in town. What'd she do? She comes behind Jesus in the crowd and touched his garment. Well, you know, if you're weak from bleeding continually and you got to fight your way through this crowd, I mean, even if you're strong and a big person, it's still difficult to get to a certain person in a crushing crowd, you know. But she fought her way through. I can just see her. She was determined, man. But what is her point of contact there? If I can touch his garments, I will be healed, right? And that was, man, her faith was, she was putting action to her faith, fighting her way through that crowd. And immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And, you know, I'm blessed. The Lord has healed me so many times. And you think, oh, you're so lucky. Well, no, luck has nothing to do with it. I've been so sick and desperate, and God has reached forth and had mercy on me. But I can remember one time I had so much pain, it didn't matter how much medication I took, the pain was there. And I was being booked for surgery that afternoon. And I'll never forget it, because my dear mother-in-law was being buried that morning. And I was at the funeral home in the family room. And something happened. I thought, something is wrong. The pain had left. I knew God had healed me. So I get to the doctor's in the afternoon, and he's apologizing all over his face, and the other specialists, and said, you know, we don't know how this happened, blah, 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 you know, because it hadn't been on the x-ray. On the x-ray, I was already healed 3 weeks earlier. I was still suffering for 3 weeks, and the doctor knew that I had been not healed. He believed he made a mistake. I said, Jesus healed me. I said, you didn't make no mistake. I said, God healed me. And he looked at me like, nutcase, you know. But I'm telling you, God healed me, you know. But, you know, I'd been healed for 3 weeks, but still suffering until that day, you see. And anyway, I'm in here someplace. Ah, yes, verse 30. We'll start do 29 again. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She knew she was healed. She knew she was healed. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself, Jesus knew. He knew that power had gone out of him. How? Well, it could have been word of knowledge, you know. But no. When you're praying for the sick, now it's only happened to me a few times. Well, quite anyway. You got hands laid on people and you'll feel it flowing. And my youngest boy, we were praying for someone with cancer in our kitchen. Everybody does that, right? And he was just 7 at the time. And afterwards he said to me, Mom, he says, like electricity, you know, you can feel it. It's flowing. And but anyway, and Jesus could feel the anointing, the healing anointing going into her body. Okay, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Just his clothes. Remember how in the book of Acts, Paul would pray over handkerchiefs and stuff, and they would take them and lay them on people. We've had that happen where, you know, the anointing stays on that. It stays on that for a while, and then, you know, pray some more. But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? You know, are you losing it, Jesus? There's 7 people touching you at all times. You can't move in this crowd, you know, without being touched. And Jesus looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, she knew she'd been healed, came and fell down before him. So what's she doing? She's worshiping him, position of worship, and told Jesus the whole truth. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. That made well there is the word sozo, and it means saved, healed, set free, you know, made whole, the whole 9 yards. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Your faith has made you well. Now, in Luke 8, don't turn there. It comes out and verse 45. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those around him said, Master, the multitudes throng you and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, because I perceived power going out from me, okay? So again, that anointing was leaving him and going into her, and she was healed, right? Okay, back to Jairus. Now, his little girl has just died. I don't know how many, it doesn't matter how many children you have. If you just had one die, you're going to be in rough shape, right? So, while Jesus was still speaking to the woman, okay, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? These guys are thinking Jairus is losing it, right? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And, you know, it's very important to remember, fear will activate what? The negative spirit dimension. But faith will activate the positive. I don't care if you feel fear within. Don't let it come out of your mouth. Don't say, oh my God, he's dead. You know, no, don't say it. Don't say it. And put your hand over your mouth if you have to. Just speak in tongues, whatever. But do not say the negative in the situation, because it empowers the negative spirit dimension. And you may figure, oh, what are you talking about? Well, I'll tell you, it's very real. It is very real. And Jesus permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. So no other disciples, none of the crowd, none of the rulers of the synagogue were allowed to go with him. Then Jesus came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. I mean, the house is packed with people. They're crying, they're carrying on, they're mourning this girl. Even today in Canada, the Jewish people, they bury their dead before sundown. I've been to some Jewish funerals, man. Anyway, this little girl, they're already there mourning. So she wasn't alive and on the point of death when Jairus left the home seeking Jesus. But obviously, Jairus had heard of Jesus before. And maybe he heard about Jesus raising the dead, or he's absolutely heard about healing them. And he's speaking faith. He said, I know if you come and lay your hands on her, she will be healed. And he knew she was dead before he left the house. 39, when Jesus came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed Jesus to scorn. But when Jesus had put them all out, can you see this? This is Jairus and his wife. This is their parents, their family, their best friends, kicking out the other rulers in the synagogue. I mean, oh, how nice. But anyway, what is Jesus doing? Getting rid of that doubt and unbelief. I mean, you need something done. You got to get rid of the doubt and unbelief, right? So Jesus took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him, Peter, James, and John, and entered where the child was laying. Then Jesus took the child by the hand and said to her, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But Jesus commanded them strictly that no one should know it. This is a village. Everybody already knows the girl died, right? Now she's going to be walking the streets. Anyway, and said that something should be given to her to eat. But I mean, this is not a secret. They already know. It's out in the open. Okay, so you see the point of contact and the faith statements in spite of the bad situation that they were in? Now, in Luke 8, I looked at that. I'm on the wrong page. Get in the game. Luke 17, hey, all right. This is the 10 lepers. And, you know, they were healed as they obeyed Jesus and did what Jesus told them to do. 12 to 19. Then Jesus entered a certain village. There, Jesus met 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Well, why are they standing afar off? Because the Levitical law said you don't go near anybody or they'll catch what you got, you know, and it's against the law. And they lifted up their voices. Do you see where they've got hope? These guys have heard about Jesus before. They've heard about the Lord. They've heard that he can heal, and they're going to go for it, man. Leprosy is a terrible disease. You lose your digits. I mean, it's awful. It's awful. And they're putting action to their faith too, aren't they here? They're hollering and screaming. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. Well, that was what the law required, but Jesus didn't lay hands on these guys. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. As they obeyed Jesus, what he had told them to do, they were cleansed from the leprosy. It stopped oozing and all that. Ugh. 15. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. You know, you read about the healings Jesus did in Scripture. It always brought glory to the Father God. Always brought glory. They always glorified Yahweh, the living God of Israel. It always brought glory to God. And we need to give the glory to the Lord. when we are healed, when the Lord answers our prayers and you know, and throws us in a snowbank instead of down the steps and on the sidewalk, you know. 16, and fell down on his face at his feet. This guy comes and worships Jesus. That's what he's doing here. He worships him, giving Jesus thanks. So he's glorifying God, he's worshiping Jesus, and he's thanking the Lord. This guy was pretty smart. We ought to do like he did, you know. And he was a Samaritan. Well, that means he's less than a dog to a Jew. But Jesus healed him, even though he was not in covenant with him. He wasn't in covenant. This guy was a nobody. But, you know, Jesus cares about the nobodies. He loves us all, doesn't he? So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well, has made you sozo. You know, he was totally made well. He was sozo. That word, it means healed, set free, saved, made whole. I think this 10th guy, now I could be wrong on this, but I believe this 10th man, the digits that had fallen off and rotted off grew back. I believe that. And because of the sozo, he was sozo. The other guys were cleansed. They weren't sozo, you know. But anyway, and the Lord is more than capable of doing those things. We're told in Hebrews 11, 1 and 6, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith. For he who comes to God must believe and that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You need healing, you diligently seek him. You do it and stay at it. You don't just seek him today and, oh, well, maybe I'll talk to him next Sunday again. No, no, every day, every day, every day. Okay, Acts 3. Now, this one has always sort of puzzled me. This is the cripple at the gate Beautiful, that was called Beautiful. And it's Peter and John. Verses 1 through 8. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So this man's a cripple. He's always been a cripple, and he's always been a beggar. Okay. So the beggar, seeing Peter and John about to enter into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter says, look at us. Hey, now the guy has hope. He figures he's going to get something, right? He's got their attention. 5, so he gave them his attention. He's expecting to receive. He's expecting to receive something from them. You need to expect to receive from the Lord. Expect to receive from the Lord. You know, I was praying for this lady one time. I'll never forget it, and I'll handle things differently next time. But I was praying for her spine. She had a lot of back problems. And the anointing of the Lord was so strong. It was like electricity going into her. I thought, wow, the Lord is healing her. This is great. But I didn't speak it out. I should have said, you know, that's the healing power of God going into you right now. But I never even thought to do that, right? I'm healing her. I'm praying for her. I know she's getting healed. And when I finish praying for her, she looks at me. She says, well, that didn't work. Do you know she got her words? I was devastated. Where's your faith? What are you doing with it? He's expecting to receive. She wasn't expecting to receive. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And of course the guy did, eh? Peter takes him by the right hand, lifts him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he's never walked in his life. He's been a cripple. Leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Well, everybody would recognize this guy if he's always been there. And I think he was 42 years old, this man. It comes out in another chapter. But, hey, he's been there a long time. And it's often puzzled me, too. Jesus must have walked through that gate. Why didn't Jesus heal him? You know, I don't know. Sometimes I look at scriptures, I get more questions than answers. But anyway, you know, likely because the man was just begging for money, he wasn't looking for healing, you know. But, of course, he was still begging for money here, too. But the Lord healed him. He had mercy on him and healed him. Okay, Acts 14, and this is 7 to 10. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. And somehow, Paul knew this man had the faith to be healed. I have no idea how, whether it was a word of wisdom or who knows, right? A word of knowledge. And this is in Lystra. Where are we? 14:7. And they were preaching the gospel there. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, same type of sickness that the last one had, who had never walked. And this man heard Paul speaking. He's listening. He's listening to the word. What's it say there in Romans 10:17? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the hearing of the word of God that will build your faith. Okay, that's why you meditate the healing scriptures. It'll build your faith, build your faith. This man heard Paul speaking. And Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. I don't know how he knew that he had faith to be healed, but anyway, he did. And said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. This guy's never done this kind of thing. And the man leaps up and walks. I mean, amazing, amazing. Matthew 8. And you know, this is the centurion. And of course, he's not in covenant with Yahweh. Five through 13. But again, it's as you have believed, so it be it unto you. You know, when you read the healing scriptures, maybe, and a lot of people think, oh, well, God would heal Pastor Bill, but not me. I'm not good enough. You know, why should he heal me? Well, you're just as important to him as Pastor Bill or anybody else, for that matter. He loves you. You're his precious child. Anyway, as you have believed, and if you hear the word of God on healing and on God's love, you hear that, and that faith grows in your subconscious mind and your heart. And then you're expecting to receive, because you know God is not a man that he should lie, and his word is truth. I don't care what your body's saying or the doctor's saying. I care what the word of God is saying. And God's word shall stand forever. What your body is saying can be changed. What the doctor's saying can be changed. God's word never changes. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. 8:5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion, so this guy is not in covenant with Yahweh. This is another foreigner. A centurion came to Jesus, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." You know, the Lord was willing to go to that man's house, which is against the law for a Jew to enter a Gentile's house. You know, I mean, they have all these laws. And we are unclean and things. Anyway, "I will come and heal him." Jesus was willing. He's willing to go heal this Gentile. Hey, he's willing to heal his kids first. First. Your first place. Then the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof." He knows that the Jews aren't supposed to be there. "But only speak a word, and my servant will be healed." Well, this guy's got faith. What do you mean, speak a word? He's heard about Jesus. He knows he has the authority. This guy understands authority. He's in the army or whatever. "For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." So he says, "I know you have the authority. You say it, and it shall be," right? When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Not even in Israel. People who are in covenant. This guy's not even in covenant. He's just this nobody. He's a nobody, but Jesus cares about the nobodies. Verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed," as you have believed, "so let it be done to you." And his servant was healed that same hour. You know, if you stay with God's word, you got it made. Just keep speaking the word, speaking the word, speaking the word. I'm not saying that a doctor is your enemy. No, I'm not saying that. If the doctor says, you know, I personally take 3 pills for high blood pressure. But anyway, I'm believing God for healing. But until I'm healed, I do in the natural what I can, you know. I do not believe the Lord is offended. If he told me not to, one time he did. I was so sick. Man, I got out of the barns, I had a shower, and I was heading for the doctor's. I get halfway to the doctor's office, and the Lord speaks to me. "Is it because there is no God in Israel that you seek healing at this foreign?" "That's it, Lord, I'm going home. If I die, I die. I don't care." And I turned around and went home. I was really sick, too, you know. But then it was gone. By the next day. He didn't heal me right away. I was too stupid to ask him to heal me right away. I was a baby. I was a baby for years and years and years. I mean, I attended a church that did not teach the word of God. I kid you not. So the Lord had to teach me, and I was a slow learner. You know, like, man. Matthew 9. And here it's 2 blind men, okay? We're going to look verses 27 to 30. When Jesus departed from there, 2 blind men followed Jesus, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." They've got hope. They've heard of Jesus' healing. They've got hope. They've got faith. They're putting action to their faith. "Son of David, Messiah." What are they saying? Messiah, you know, "have mercy on us, have mercy on us." And, you know, when Jesus had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Lord." And Jesus touched their eyes and saying, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. Anyone who knew these blind guys would know that they're now seeing, right? Even if they didn't say anything. And as always seemed to happen, the next verse, but when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. You know, like, I mean, yeah, they go and blab. And, okay, Luke 4 here. And this is about a demon spirit. And you know, there's a lot of sickness and disease that is caused by demon spirits. The first thing I pray for someone with cancer is I command the spirit of cancer to leave. Actually, I command all spirits of cancer to leave. You get rid of one and there's still 20 left there, that person's still in rough shape. All spirits of, and anytime you're doing deliverance, it's not just come out unclean spirit. All unclean spirits, you come out in Jesus' name and you do not go back in, okay? You take your authority. You don't, not with a wimpy voice. You have to kind of put some authority in it, right? Or they aren't going to listen. They don't have to obey you. You better make sure. If you don't put authority in your voice. But I'm sure you can do it. I had children. They know I can put authority in my voice. Right, Ted? Anyway, Luke 4, 33 to 36. Now, in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. So it's an unclean spirit. And he cried with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. Well, you see, you only got one unclean spirit? Excuse me, there's more than one of us, right? What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know you, who you are, the Holy One of God. Do you know the demon spirits know you? Have you never been approached by a person with a demon spirit that recognizes you? Yeah, too many times I have been. But anyway, I have some real experiences when I go to shopping malls and stuff. You got to go with me someday. One time I had picked my daughter up from school. She was 8 at the time, and I thought, well, I'm going to spend the afternoon. We went to St. Catharines. We're going down the main street, and it's not long before Christmas. Lots of snow, lots of people, and this guy is, you know, hammered out of his mind walking up the other side of the street. Well, if you've ever been on the main street there in St. Catharines, it's 4-lane, one way, you know. And have you ever seen the movies where they're dodging through the traffic? Well, all of a sudden this guy goes, and I just kind of noticed him out of the corner of my eye, and he starts dodging through the traffic. And my daughter, she's always had discerning of spirits, Kim. Anyway, she says to me, Mommy, is that man coming after us? I said, yes. What are we going to do? Well, at this time, he's about maybe that wall behind us, okay? I'm scared to death because I don't know what we're going to do. I got this little kid, this drunk maniac coming after me, and I'm looking in the stores for some big guy that I can run and stand beside, you know, and they aren't there, right? Anyway, she says, Mommy, what are we going to do? And I said, it's okay, honey. He gets one step closer. I'm going to cast that thing out of him. Do you know he stopped, you know, like Bugs Bunny or the Road Runner? And he turned and he ran right back across the street. He was gone. He was history. I didn't even know how to cast the spirit out at that time, you know, like, but the spirit didn't know. He knew who I was. And he's coming up behind me, he said. And he's hollering, you know, servant of the Most High God, and he's going on and on and on, and I'm thinking, oh my God, who is he? Who is he, Lord? Get rid of him. You know, like, but anyway, the demons know you. They know you. I don't know if we're lights in the spirit dimension or what, like, you know, around us. They know us. They know us. And we're in Luke 4. Okay. 33. How about 35? But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. So they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is. For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And you know, you have the authority and power as well. You do it in the name of Jesus. Okay. Luke 5, 17 to 25. And this is a sad one to me. The power of the Lord was present to heal. There's a crowd there. There's such a crush of people. They can't bring this guy through, you know, to see Jesus. Only one man was healed. There, you know, if there's a crowd there, I'll bet you there was more than one sick person. But only one person was healed. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. Like that lady I was praying for, the power of the Lord was present to heal her. And she rejected it. Oh, well, that didn't work. Okay, lady. You know. But, okay, we'll start at verse 17. Now it happened on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law. So the religious people are there. Sitting by, who had come out of every town, Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. The power of God's there. You know, tap into it, tap into it. Then behold, men brought a man on a bed. Men brought a man. We'll start again, okay? 18. Then behold, men brought a bed. On a bed, a man who was paralyzed. Boy, that's a tough sentence. And they sought to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. So when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith. They had hope. They had heard of Jesus. Man, you know, my paralyzed friend, he's going to stay paralyzed forever if I don't get him to Jesus. Get him healed. They put action to their faith. They took the man. But Jesus looks at him. He says, man, your sins are forgiven you. I'm sure he said it loud enough for the religious people, which is probably why he said it. You know, part of the reason he said it in the first place. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, and they're thinking this. They aren't saying it out loud. They're paying attention to what's going on, but they're thinking to themselves, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone, right? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, a word of knowledge. Do you know Jesus functioned in 7 of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit at all times? I mean, as you go through the Gospels, you can pick out, oh, yeah, there's word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. And I mean, they're all there. They're all there, except diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And they were introduced after the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the church, right? But 23, we'll start at 22 again. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? He knows what they're thinking. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? Well, if you've ever prayed for a paralyzed person, you know this is a tough prayer. This is a tough one. But 24, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Jesus said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Gifts of healing working? You know, like there's so many. And he put action to his faith. Immediately he rose up before them, took what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Always brought glory to God. Always brought glory to God. But only one man was healed, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Only one was healed. Okay, last scripture here, Luke 18. Now, I wanted to, after we're finished this scripture, I wanted to share with you, actually, Amy, come here, please. How to pray and grow out arms and legs and that kind of stuff and adjust the back, the spine, okay? And I've got lots of directions for you. And Ted, I'm going to have you go at the back there and maybe throw Margaret or Mary Ellen, throw Mary Ellen on a chair. And measure her legs and stuff like that. And Pastor Bill, could you do the same up here so the people can watch it? Okay, last scripture, Luke 18, 35. Then it happened that as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road. So this is a blind man. This is a blind man, okay? And he's there begging. And hearing a multitude passing by asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Well, you can see by the blind man's reaction that he had heard about Jesus. This guy can heal the sick. He can make the blind see, the deaf hear, you know. And his hope and faith arises, and immediately he puts action to his words, or to his faith. 38, and he cried out, so he's starting to holler now, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, again, he's saying, Jesus, Messiah, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more. You can hit me, I don't care, I need Jesus to heal me. He cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Messiah, have mercy on me. Heal me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come, Jesus asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, I'm kind of surprised he asked. Well, he knew that he wanted him to heal him, right? And anyway, so he says, Lord or Master, that I might receive my sight. That I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. Sozoed you. Okay, your faith has saved you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. And again, God always gets the praise. You need hope first. And faith, you do that with the word of God. You grow your faith and put action to your faith. Action to your faith. Seek Jesus for healing. And I've had him heal me. When I will seek his face. When I will seek his face. And, you know, we may be praying for people at the end of service, so don't put the chairs and tables where they go. It hinders the flow of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit lifts when people start making noise and messing around and you know. Anyway, Pastor Bill, can you grab a chair and bring it up here? And and who did we, did I say? It's Helen, come and get your legs measured. Got to pick on somebody, right? Anyway, see this beautiful picture? I photocopied these notes, by the way, from the Hunter's book on healing, okay? And they're really quite accurate, very accurate. Okay. On the right are listed a few of the many problems, disorders, and diseases which pinched nerves can cause in the various areas of the Bible. And the arrows on the left point to the locations in the spine where nerves pass through very small openings on their way to and from the brain, okay, to control all the various parts and organs of the body. About 300,000 nerve fibers pass through each of the 62 little openings in your spine, right? Just a slight dislocation of a bone or vertebrae in the spine can close one of these tiny openings enough to pinch a nerve and interfere with normal passage of nerve impulses. Okay, I'm going to move the pulpit and put you more in the center. That's okay, Pastor Bill. Pardon? Oh, park it. And Ted, who's getting on the chair? Oh, well, that's okay. Okay, how to pray for the spine. So we're going to start though with arms and legs, okay? So see on the page of notes, in the middle is adjusting the length of arms or legs. So we're going to measure the feet. Okay, never mind, Ted. Okay, so you pick them up. Okay, seat the person on a straight chair, making sure, put her feet down for a second, Pastor Bill, I'm running behind on instructions. Seat the person on a straight chair, making sure their back is flat against the chair. So sit up nice and straight, like a good girl in school. Elevate their feet centered right in front of them, keeping the person's shoes on, okay? Because you need to measure the length of the legs. So the legs have to be right centered in front of her. Okay, holding the person's feet level, allow their heels to lay lightly in your hands. Are they the same, Pastor Bill, or is this one a little shorter? Anyway, you begin praying. Yes. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to adjust what needs to be adjusted, heal what needs healing, okay? Recreate all that needs recreated, and cause these legs to be the same length in Jesus' name. And then you just continue to pray until the Lord makes the adjustment. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, you shall be the same length. Be healed and adjusted now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And sometimes when you do that, the leg you're praying for or the other one can come out past the other one, and then it'll turn around and go back. But what is happening, it's an adjustment that the Lord is making in your lower back, okay, that's going on. But this is for everyone. You know, it's the body of Christ. Actually, as Pastor Bill said this morning, it's the saints who do the work of the ministry. But a lot of the saints think, oh, we got a pastor. They get to do all the work. No, not how God looks at it, okay? Yeah, it wasn't real big, but yeah. Now, to do arms, can we one more time? Throw her against that wall over there, Pastor Bill, or the door. Maybe the door is better here, Pastor Bill. It's nice and flat, okay? So to measure the arms, you have them stand flat against, you know, get their back flat against the wall, and then, you know, kind of loosely. And then, Helen, just put them together, centered in front of you. Gee, I'm out by an eighth of an inch. But so, oh, well, she's okay. But anyway, if one is longer than the other, Okay, then you would you'd pray the same way. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I would ask that you would heal and adjust these arms, that they would be the same length. And yeah, okay? And it's amazing. God does it for everybody. As long as you're a Christian, you have the authority in the name of Jesus. Okay? And okay. When you're finished, Pastor Bill will allow her to go back. Okay, Ted, do you want to do the neck thing? Amy's a good one to do the neck thing on. She's got a pony on. Well, we can see your neck, that's all. Come on up here. Okay, the neck thing. Now, this has to do with, the upper vertebrae here. And anything to do with your head, there's a whole lot of different things, and they're all listed on that other page for you. Migraines, the whole nine yards is listed there. So I need you standing. Look straight at me. Yeah. Okay, Ted, and you come on this side. All right. So you put your two hands on the person's neck, placing your fingers on the upper spinal column along the back of the neck. So, yeah, put your fingers on the, that's right. Your palms should be over the person's carotid artery. Well, okay, wait a sec. Yeah, like that. You can't? I can grab her by the throat. Watch this. Okay, so you put your hand, and just lightly touching, you just barely touching. No, that's the way it goes. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But just real light. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm on the wrong one. Your palms should be over the person's carotid. I'm trying saying it wrong. Artery. Okay, it's the main artery on both sides of the person's neck. So when you have it. It's like that. And yeah, she really needs it, doesn't she? Yeah. Okay. Your thumbs should automatically be on the temporal mandibular joint, okay? And it's the strongest muscle in the body. So, men say we talk a lot. Maybe we got the stronger muscles. Anyway, with your hands gently in place, ask the person to slowly turn their face to the left. And then to the right. Then you put it backwards, you know. And then forward. And as they're doing this, you begin to command all the muscles, ligaments, tendons, vertebrae, nerves to be healed and adjusted in Jesus' name. And if you can't remember them all, you can just read it off the page. God is not insulted, okay? He doesn't look at things that have to be done exactly the way. And if they keep, I'll just keep reading. Often the person will continue to rotate their head for a while. Allow them to do so, okay? Until they naturally stop. It will be at this point that the Lord will be finished his adjustments. If further prayer is needed for something else, pray for it. And then you finish off, of course, by thanking the Lord for what he's done. Pastor Bill, why don't you do the hip thing? It's called the pelvic thing there at the bottom of your page. We need a volunteer. I don't want to embarrass any. Mary Ellen? She hid in the bathroom, but we're going to get her. Okay. They might. Would you see better there or here? I guess here. Yeah. Okay, Pastor Bill, or do you want to read it and I'll do it? Here.
Okay, you do it.
Okay. Come on over here, Mary Ellen, and look at me.
All right.
Yeah, that's true, and it just dawned on me. No, you're going
to
read that, Pastor Bill.
Not to resist.
stop the adjustment the Lord is doing in them. Okay, this is an adjustment of the spine.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay. Place your hands lightly on top of the person's pelvic bones.
Which is the hip bones here, okay?
Command
and real light.
The pelvic bones, the hip bones, to rotate on the sacrum.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hips, you shall rotate and take a proper position in this body in Jesus' name. Rotate on the sacrum and take a proper position in the name of Jesus.
You
aren't even shifting.
Move into the proper position in
Jesus' name. Sacrum, in the name of Jesus, I command you to rotate and take a proper position there in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. She's quite well adjusted. Keep going, Pastor Bill.
Vertebrae, nerves, and muscles in the lower back.
In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All vertebrae, discs, nerves, muscles be healed and adjusted now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your lower back's fine. Some people do a rumba, you know. No, really, there was no reaction, but I mean, if there were needed a reaction, there would have been, okay? And anyone can do this.
Amen.
Anyone, as long as you're a Christian.
Charles and Francis Hunter.
They are fantastic, fantastic. And then... I've done it on myself. If nobody else is around, I need it. I just wanted to read this very quickly, okay? It's called the total thing. Now, the total thing is just doing all three, right? To accomplish this, you need to do all three. Grow out the arms and legs, do the pelvic thing, and the neck thing, okay? We've seen outstanding healings through the neck thing. Not only in our ministry, but through the tens of thousands whom we have taught this supernatural, natural application of God's healing power. Almost 100% of neck problems, headaches, nerve deafness, arthritis in the neck, fractured vertebrae, deteriorated, all kinds of, you know, have been healed by this in the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus that's healing them. You will discover that large percentages of health problems will be healed through the basic healing application of the total thing. And so that's just going through all three prayers for the person. And you know, it's just awesome, awesome. All the healing that it can bring. And it's not just healing for your skeletal, but it for the organs and things too, you know. And when you heal and adjust these things in the name of Jesus, the Lord is paying attention and he's actually doing it. I know when I pray for people, I love it when pregnant ladies come and say, pray for my baby. And you pray for them, you can feel the baby move. I know they're just tiny at that point, but you can feel the movement. Or you command... the uterus to go back up into proper position or something, you'll feel it under your hand shift in the abdomen, you know, and you do it in the name of Jesus and just repeat yourself a couple times what absolutely needs to be done, okay? So, and if anybody wanted prayer, you can come forward, we'll pray for you, but at this time, we'll dismiss you and, but don't do the chairs and stuff until after we're finished praying, if we're praying, okay? Come up, Mary Ellen. Yeah, okay. Here, Ted.